That's right.
I believe that.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right.
One day we're out of here. Not going to be in this place no more. You may think I'm crazy, but sometimes I just would rather just go. I'm not in a great hurry to die like everybody else. But man, I'm sure
there you go.
That's where I want to be. God, that's where I'm going to go. And sometimes you just get tired of this place.
Yeah.
You get tired of seeing all the things going on. All the troubles and all the heartaches. It's like the sister saying, remind me. Yeah. And I'm glad he does. He comes by and reminds me that this isn't my home anymore. I've got a better home to go to.
Amen.
And sometimes I just can't wait to get
there.
Amen. God bless.
I hate Mother's Day. I'm sorry. I don't mean to say that to hurt anyone's feelings, but my heart starts to hurt when it gets close to Mother's Day. My heart hurts a lot, and sometimes I just want to go be with her. And I know I'm not going to know her as my mom over there, but I'm going to know that spirit when I get there. There's rest and peace in that, and I'm thankful for it. I love every one of you, and I'm sorry if I'm a downer. Man, I just love God's spirit. And I just want to go over there sometime.
God bless you, James. God bless you.
Anyone else tonight with a testimony, anything on your heart? This is God's house, right? I mean, we are here to worship. And, we should not leave anything behind when we come to the house of the Lord, whatever He puts on our heart. We're led by the Spirit. We got to follow the Spirit. Psalms 21 tonight, if you've got your Bibles. David says this, and we're going to read this scripture, but there's a couple other places we're going to reference tonight.
Bless the Lord.
We'll go ahead and read the whole chapter. I was only going to read a couple of verses, but after looking at it, we'll read the whole chapter tonight and maybe give you what's on our heart, what was stirring tonight. David writes this. The Bible says, I will lift up mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. You can be seated tonight. Chapter 122 starts out, and David says, I was glad when he said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I thought tonight as we was looking at the scriptures, actually I had marked this scripture. I looked this up tonight as we were sitting there on the pew, maybe when Sister Nikki or maybe when Mom was singing. But we were reading at the house in the book of Genesis when on the occasion the Bible says that Abram, he was there. And really the thought we had was really lifting up. What are we lifting up to God? What are we lifting up to the Lord? And the reason it caught my attention there, because over in the book of Genesis, we find that Lot had already gone down to Sodom, and he had already been down there, and they had already separated. And the Bible says that there come a time when the kings went out and they battled. And oftentimes, it's been a while since I read that. I just happened to be reading it, thinking about it the other day, and I read it again this afternoon. And it says that they had gone down there to battle. The different kings had come together, and there were probably 8 or 9 of them, and they'd gone to fight. And after about the year 13 or 14, some of them rebelled. And it says that they had got down into this valley and this place, and the king of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah and a couple other kings that they fought with, they fell in the battle. And it said the other kings had come down there, and they had taken the victuals, and they had taken everything out of from the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and they took Lot with them, the Bible says. And it says that they began to go back, but said there was a Hebrew that escaped the battle, and he come back and he told Abram, what had happened. And the Bible says that Abram, he got, I believe it was 318 men of his own house, men there. And it said he went down by night because he didn't really care for the kings necessarily, but he knew that his nephew was there. And he said he went down, and they went down by night, and they went down into the battle, and they fought. And then by the daybreak, Abram was blessed by God, and he was on his way back, having received or recaptured Lot. Not only did he have Lot, but he had everything else that was taken from the enemy, and he was coming back. And it was about that time in the Bible, in the next chapter, maybe later in that same chapter, where Abram's on his way back, and he runs across Melchizedek. And the Bible says that the king of Salem saw him there, and he blessed him, and he said, "Thou art Abram, servant of the Most High God." Listen, and he blessed Abram there, and the Bible says that Abram had given unto Melchizedek. He had paid tithes, paid a tenth. But it said, then the king of Sodom had come to Abram, and he told him that he wanted to give him some things. He said, "You just take certain things there, and take your portion of what you've gained, and the rest of it I'll take." And Abram said, "No." He said, "I'll only take what God has given me." He said, "I'm not taking anything from you because I've already lifted my hands towards God." In other words, I have already looked to God, or he lifted up my hands to the Lord. I've lifted my eyes. Maybe that scripture, he said he lifted his eyes. We're going to get in a couple different places, but on a number of occasions, the Bible says that Abram lifted up his eyes. He lifted up his hands. I believe it. On that one, he said, "I've already lifted up my hands to God." In other words, I've already given him the battle. I've already given him praise. I've already given him everything. He said, "I'm not going to take not a thread even to the shoe latch, but anything that you have to give me." He said, "Unless that you go back there and say that I'm the one that made Abram rich." Hey, listen, Abram knew that everything that he had was given by God. Hey, listen, and he was ready to lift up his hands. He was ready to lift up his eyes. He was ready to lift up his soul. He was ready to lift up everything that he had to God. And that got me to thinking, hey, listen, where in the Bible does it tell us about how we ought to lift up these things? And so we begin to think about the book of Psalms. The Bible says, hey, listen, in a number of places that David wrote about how he lifted up. Here in the 121st chapter, he said, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from which cometh my help." Listen, if I thought tonight about what we lift up to God, when we start lifting up some things to God, we start forgetting about some other things. And listen, as I begin to think about what it means to lift your eyes up to God, you realize tonight when you lift your eyes up to God, you are taking your eyes off the things of the world. And listen, there's nothing in this life that will cause you more stress and heartache than to lay your eyes on the things of the world. After all, it was Lot that laid his eyes toward the plains of Jordan, and he saw everything down there. Hey, listen, but God told Abraham not to look up, and he said, "I want you to look up now and look northward, look southward, look eastward, look westward." But God, the Bible said that Abram lifted his eyes up to heaven. He lifted his eyes up to God. Hey, listen, and when he lifted them up to the Lord, he found the direction that God wanted him to go in. Aren't you glad tonight when you take your eyes off of the world and fix them on God, that he'll give you the direction you need to go in, and you'll not have to doubt or question where God wants you to be? It's only when we take our eyes off of the Lord that we find ourselves in trouble. And listen, we begin to look to the right or to the left. I'm finding the one place I believe Christ told him. He said, "Any man that lays his hands to the plow and looks to the right or the left is not fit for the kingdom of heaven." What that tells me, hey, listen, we got to have our eyes fixed on where God wants us to be. And I know some folks say, "Well, if you lay your hands to the plow and you look to the left or the right, that's where you'll veer off." And that's absolutely right. You'll never plow a straight line if you're looking everywhere else. Hey, listen, but if you set your eyes where they belong, hey, listen, when you're just plowing in the direction where God has blinders on you, hey, it's much better with blinders in your on your eyes and walking the straight line where God wants you to be than taking them off and looking to the right or the left and getting distracted in this world. When we get distracted, we'll get off course. The Bible says here, David said, "I lift up mine eyes into the hills from which
cometh my help. In other words, he looked up to the high place. He looked up to where, some might say, well, he looked up to where God was. I believe that's absolutely right. We know in the Bible that the Lord, if we reference that to the place where David, after all, he built the temple on that place where he saw the angel of the Lord after he had tried to take a census and God sent down judgment to him. And then all of a sudden he saw the angel there and he bought that threshing floor and he decided that's where the temple had to be built. Was the same place where Abraham was, and I preached that not too long ago. That same mountain chain that Abraham, offered up a sacrifice and God made the covenant with him, is also the same place where Christ hung at Calvary. And it'd be good for us to lift our eyes up to the hills, because that's where our help and that's where our strength comes from. Hey, listen, there's my Bible ran a reference that said oftentimes the hill country was a hiding place. Hey, listen, there's no greater place to go than to hide from the world than in the place where God is. There's nothing like hiding under the wing of God. There's nothing, as David wrote in 121st chapter here. He said, I'll get into the Lord is my keeper. I'll go where God is. And the sun won't shine upon me, neither the light of the moon. But I'll just hide and let God be my resting place. I'll let God be my hiding place. I'll let God be my keeping place. And I'll put my soul and my heart and my rest and my eyes will be fixed on Him.
Right.
Said the sun won't smite me there. Not even the light of the moon. He said, the Lord will preserve me and help me. I'm glad I'm preserved. Hey, listen, my soul is sealed to the day of redemption tonight. But in chapter 63 of the book of Psalms, the Bible says that David wrote over there in verse 4, chapter 63, he talks about lifting up his hands to God. Which we know the time when we just referenced a little bit. If you go back and read where Abraham had God renewed a covenant with Abram over there. And listen, he had the sacrifice there. And it said the birds and the fowls of the air were trying to come down and get to the sacrifice. And the Bible says that Abram lifted up his hands and he just waved them off. In other words, he was shooing them away. But another place it talks about Abraham lifting up his hands to God. And really, if we look at it, I thought about lifting up your eyes is simply just looking or seeking for God. Hey, how many times have you been in a place where it didn't seem like you could do anything? You didn't really know what the next step would be. But all of a sudden you realize if you just looked up to God, if you sought the Lord, and you sought Him out, and you sought the direction from God, it wouldn't be long when God just put all those questions aside and you knew where you had to go. That's lifting up your eyes. Lifting up your hands, and you start thinking about what it meant to lift up your hands. In the Bible, lifting up your hands was a time when they would pray. They would go out in the temple and they would lift their hands up in prayer. Lifting your hands up to God is praying. I know a lot of times today we don't really look at it as praying necessarily, because when we pray we get down on our hands and knees and we bow our heads at an altar of prayer. And we're going to get to that in just in a minute. Hey, listen, we often think about lifting up our hands to God as praising God. Getting a good old shouting service and everything's going well and the songs are being sung and the Spirit's moving. Hey, listen, all of a sudden shouts will go up, hands will go up in the air. Why? Because we're praising and we're worshiping God. Hey, listen, but in the Bible when they lifted up hands, they were praying to God. Too many times we have let our hands come down to our sides. Hey, listen, and we have failed to lift up our hands to God. There's many a times when it would have done us well as individuals in life. Every one of us is probably guilty of this. It would have done us well to lift our hands up and pray to God. But instead, we tried to do it on our own. We tried to make our own way. We tried to solve our own problems. Listen, how much better would it have been if we'd have stopped where we were and lifted our hands up and said, God, I need your help right now. Listen, I don't know where to go with this. I don't know what to do about this. But Lord, I know that if I look to you and I raise my hands to you, that you're always looking, you're always watching, you're always caring. Listen, and sometimes if we think about it like that, we know that Christ said, if you ask, you shall receive. You have not because you ask not. How many times we lack the blessings of God, we lack the answers from God, simply because we lack asking God. How much better it would be sometimes if we would just go to Him and lift our hands up and say, God, I need your help. But all we're human and we're of a carnal nature, and sometimes we get it in our mind that we don't need any help. We're stubborn people. And sometimes we get in our hearts, like I said, we get pride and everything else there that gets in the way. But then praising God by lifting up our hands. I mean, there's nothing like praising God in the beauty of holiness. I mean, just when you just let everything go, you don't care about what people think anymore. You don't care about what the people behind you, around you are thinking anymore. You're not trying to be dignified for the crowd that you're in. You don't really care. If they think you're crazy, that's okay. But when you just absolutely let go and just let God have, hey, listen, just praise Him from the depths of your heart with everything you have. There's nothing like worshiping God in spirit and in truth. That's the only way we can worship. But Psalms 86 and 4, and also in Psalms 25, David says, I'll lift up my soul. And I thought about really what is lifting up your soul. If you think about that, listen, and we can lift up our hands, and we can lift up our eyes. But to me, when I think about that, those are just outward expressions. But if you think about lifting up your soul, hey, listen, lifting up your hands and lifting up your eyes don't mean a whole lot until you've lifted up your soul. Amen. When did you lift up your soul? Down on your hands and knees when you were pouring your heart out to God. Amen. And you were just asking Him. You were surrendering everything to Him. Amen. Really what it was we was just taking our whole life and we were just handing it over to Him. And saying, God, I'm going to lift up everything I have and I'm just going to give it to You. It's Yours. Amen. I want You to take it into Your care and into Your keeping and lift your soul to God. Why would David say, I'm going to lift up my soul? Well, there's no better place to put it, no better hands to put it in. Hey, if I'm going to lift something up, I'm going to lift it up to one who's going to take care of it. When it comes to lifting up our soul, I'm going to lift it up to God and let Him take care of it. It's His anyway. I mean, He's the one that made us. He's the one that gave us what we have. So we lift up our soul. We rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. How do you rejoice in God? Hey, listen, you just let your soul rejoice in the goodness of God. And you surrender everything. And you let the Spirit of God lead you in a way. Hey, listen, that when you get in the presence of God, you begin to rejoice down on the inside. Rejoicing is different. And we've all been in situations where folks will rejoice, sometimes with an outward rejoicing. But on the inside, it's dead. There's nothing there. And when the inside is dead, the outward is dead also. Hey, listen, Christ told him in one place, He said, you honor Me with your mouth, but your heart is far from Me. Hey, listen, He said, you honor Me with your lips. In other words, you do everything on the outside, but on the inside, you're full of dead man's bones. Hey, listen, it's from the inside that our rejoicing begins to stir. And when it's stirred from the inside, it makes its way to the outside. And then when it comes forth in the outside and hands are raised and eyes are lifted, hey, listen, and the soul's rejoicing in God, then we know that we have made contact with heaven. For then we know we are worshiping in spirit and in truth. And all of a sudden this world begins to diminish and the glory of God begins to shine brighter. And it don't matter what's on the outside. It don't matter where we are. It don't matter who we are around. It don't matter what's being said. It don't matter what's being done. The only thing that matters is where we are standing at that moment in the presence of God. And you can feel the power shed all over you. And it's then that we feel like that we are standing in the same place that Moses stood, the same place that Joshua stood. We are in the holy place where God is. Where the high priest would go in and stand in the holiest of the holy of all places. And listen, and commune with God Himself in that place where no man could look. All of a sudden, God puts us in that place where we are known. Hey, listen, that we know where we are. We can feel Him. He's all around us, and nothing else matters. You realize when the high priest went into the holiest of holy places, there was nothing on the outside that mattered anymore. The only thing that took precedence was where he was and what he was doing. And you realize and you begin to think what God did. Hey, listen, what Christ accomplished at Calvary, when that middle wall partition was removed and taken down. You want to know why that was? Hey, listen, that wasn't so the high priest could see what was going on the outside. It wasn't because we could see what was going on the inside. It was so that we could go in that place on our own in the presence of God and stand there. Hey, listen, having a great high priest that had already entered in, has shed his blood, made the sacrifice, resurrected, sat down at the right hand of the Father. No wonder Christ said, come to the throne of grace boldly, that you might find help in your time of need. Hey, there is strength to be found when we lift up our soul.
Amen.
We lift everything we have. Just give it to Him. As we quoted already, He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. How do you rejoice? I mean, if you look at the world and ask the world how to rejoice, I'm sure they'll give you all kinds of answers. They'll tell you to rejoice in song. You can rejoice in song. Rejoice in the message. Absolutely, you can rejoice in the message. But if you've not lifted up your soul to rejoice to the Lord from the depths of your heart and rendered yourself to Him wholly, you'll never fully rejoice in the Lord. You'll never fully understand what the phrase means. You'll never understand the peace in it, the joy in it. I mean, I quote that scripture a lot. And Peter, when he wrote to him, he said, there's joy unspeakable and full of glory. I mean, the things that we feel in our heart, we don't have the words to utter what we really feel down in our heart. All we can tell them, our best vocabulary, hey, listen, the most extensive vocabulary that we have could never fully explain what God has done on the inside. We can never fully explain it. And I'm very limited in my vocabulary. And I try to do better. But hey, listen, it don't matter what words come out as long as I know what's in my heart. I try to explain it to people. If you're like me, you try to explain it too. But you finally get down to the end and you say, well, it's just better felt than told. I don't know. Other than that, I really don't know what else to say. Until you feel it for yourself, you'll never fully understand by the words that I have to explain it. And that's just the way God is. We can't explain God. Our very best explanation of God is still limited. We're trying to explain God. We're trying to explain a limitless God, one without bounds, in our own feeble way. The best way is just to lift up your soul, lift up your eyes, lift up your hands.
Amen.
And let God stir you on the inside.
Amen.
And then we can rejoice. I'm glad that God has given us this way. Oh, the Bible says, I believe in one scripture, Isaiah, I believe it was, it wrote about the way. I mean, did he not write about the way? I mean, we have a way. I preached that one time, I believe, over at Revival, maybe over Shady Grove. God has a way. I think that revival that week, I preached there is a way. There is a book, I believe. There were several nights that I kind of went on that in that pattern, but God has a way. And the Bible says it's a highway of holiness that, hey, listen, the wayfaring man, the old fool, could not err therein. I'm glad God made a simple way for us. Made it so simple that we can lift up our soul, we can lift up our hands and our eyes, and God will honor that. God will bless for that, and God will look down upon that, us for that, and He cares. We don't have to do anything great. It don't take some big, long recitation. It don't take any memorization of anything. We just need to give it to Him.
Amen.
And I'm glad it's just that easy. How easy is it to get saved? You just simply come and give it to Him.
Right.
Just give it to Him. Lay it at His feet. Here it is. Here's my whole life. It's my soul. Because if we try to keep it on our own, we're going to end up in the depths of hell. And I thought about that, and I'm going to come to close. I thought about that on the way here tonight. I thought you could lift up your eyes now and seek God. Or you can lift your eyes out of hell and beg God. One place or another, you're going to seek Him. You're going to beg Him. You're going to beg Him here, or you're going to beg Him in hell, out of hell, and it's too late then. I mean, you try to lift up your hands and you can praise Him and rejoice. I mean, pray to Him and cry out to Him. You can do it here. You can do it in the depths of hell. You can confess Him, give Him your soul, and ask Him to take it and deliver you. You can do that here. You can do that out in the depths of hell. You do it in one place and He'll honor it. You do it in the other place and He ain't going to hear it. And I know we've had people say that. And I believe we've had people right here in our own church say that before. They say, well, what do you do with the individual who says, I don't believe the way you do? I've had them say, well, what if you're wrong, Victor? I don't believe in any of that. What if I'm right and you're wrong? I've heard that argument before. We all have. You know, and really, our only solution, only, you know, you could address that in a couple of different ways, but I believe if you look around, there's evidence of God everywhere. So I don't have to question whether I'm wrong because I know I'm right. Because I know there's evidence of God everywhere. And if we want to sit down and really have a discussion on the whole matter, we could do that. But the real simple answer is, well, if I'm wrong, then I've lost nothing. But if I'm right, you're in a world of trouble. I mean, that's a simple answer. But I believe God has given evidence of Himself everywhere. And so we don't have to resort to the simplest of answers if you really want to have a real discussion. I've often said you can find God anywhere. Anywhere you look, you'll find evidence of God. You'll find things that scientists can't explain. The smartest, you know, these physicists and everything, they try to explain about the universe. They'll talk and talk and talk, and man, they talk so far over my head, I don't even know what they're talking about. And some of the stuff they speak about seems so silly to me, I don't even know how they got there from where they are. But to me, it's not that complicated. You want to know why? Because I believe God.
Amen.
And I believe God, if He said it's going to be this big or it's going to be that old, that's exactly how big and that's exactly how old it's going to be. I saw something the other day and we're going to stand to our feet and ask Brother James to sing. I saw something the other day that there was a report come out that said, they found the tablet. And they said, you know what? There might be evidence of these kings that are mentioned in the Bible. And I thought, I didn't think there was a debate on whether those men were real. To me, there was never a debate, Brother Stephen, whether those men were real or not. But now they're all excited because they found the tablet written in some Hebrew or, you know, some language that they've tried to decipher. And they called out this king here and this king there, and these were biblical kings. Man, I've been reading about those kings for years. I always knew they existed. I don't know what took them so long. You know, that's because I believe God.
Amen.
I believe the book. And the longer I live, I'm sure that there's more in this book that those people come around to finally. Why? Because God's making Himself known every day. Every day. Let's lift up our eyes, lift up our hands, lift up our soul. I know where my help comes from. I'm not in the dark. God didn't save us, put us in the dark. Christ said, you are the light of the world. Trust Him. To trust His might. Sometimes we struggle with that. We get a little bit of fear, a little bit of doubt. The Bible says we're not given a spirit of fear, power and love and sound mind. I'm thankful for that. That sound mind lets us take all of our cares and burdens to Christ. Leave Him in His hands. Love Him for that. Certainly do. Anyone have a testimony? It's Wednesday night. We're going to close.